Do you offer really high touch services for your clients? Maybe you provide luxurious products that are at a premium price point. Or maybe you're a coach who lets their clients' passions guide them wherever they want to go. There are so many different ways that the lover archetype can be present in your brand. And it doesn't have to fit all of those categories. Maybe it's not a super premium price point, or maybe it's not the client's passions that guide them to creating a service all around them. Maybe it's something that you already offer that you have done research on that shows people will come to you because they really want that wonderful chocolate. There's so many different lover brands out there. And we're going to talk about how yours might be a lover brand today, even if you didn't expect it, and what that actually means for brand storytelling and your brand voice. Let's get into it. Welcome to Emma Givens Content and Copy. My name's Emma, and I'm the founder of a boutique agency specializing in branded copywriting and content writing for small and medium-sized businesses. I know from experience working with hundreds of businesses of all shapes and sizes that compassionate, client-centered copy and content ultimately does three incredibly powerful things. One, it helps your ideal client by matching them to a product or service that's going to improve their life. Two, it positions you as the guy they think of first and trust wholeheartedly. And three, it actually improves conversion and retention for a thriving business long-term. Are you excited to stand out to more of the clients you adore? Let's dive into some content and copy. The lover brand is so powerful because it creates deep, fulfilling relationships with clients and customers. There's a lot of a sense of satisfaction and genuine care that comes from both sides. And I think that that's a really special piece. You are able to develop brand loyalty and passion about what you offer at the same time as you get to offer a product or service that you're passionate about as the lover. So it really does go both ways, which can be great for getting more referrals, for getting glowing testimonials, but it also requires a certain amount of consistency and premium experience for the people who are experiencing your products or services. So let's talk about what the lover really is as an archetype. And if you're not familiar with the concept of archetypes in general, then be sure to check out this video or the previous podcast episode will be linked in the show notes. So that way you know exactly what archetypes are and how do you use them for your brand. So that today we can go straight into the lover. Let's start with the fun part, which is the colors. So the colors of the lover are somewhat obvious. Some of them are red and pink, but also anything that can be premium looking. So that could be a really sleek black, gold, especially like a gold rim on something like a glass, just to give one random example, but also white. And I think that you can see brands like Victoria's Secret, which is a lover brand that has a lot of black typeface, but in the shops and on their bags, for example, there's usually pink and red. So there's a little bit of a play with a combination of most of these. We can also look at things like Godiva, where there's a really strong gold element. So these are a series of colors you'll see a lot, very, very consistently in lover brands. Sometimes compared to the other archetypes, lover brands tend to be really true to their color scheme for the most part. The lover's core values are intimacy, connection, and beauty. Connected to that, their greatest desires are intimacy and also experiencing the senses, all of the senses, and pleasure. That's why it makes sense what their greatest fears are, which are usually disconnection, feeling alone, not feeling wanted or special. And the way you want to make your customers feel is the opposite of that. So really special, really wanted, even desired. They also want to feel that they're experiencing something luxurious, something absolutely lovely. So the brand promise is to make your ideal customer or client feel loved, appreciated, or desired. The strategy for connection of a lover brand is to invest time and effort in building true, long-lasting relationships with your clients. This is particularly true as a service provider, which is why most lover brands that are service providers do a high touch sort of experience where they have extra access to you or they're given a lot of luxury kind of experiences. So maybe that means that they get gifts or there is a spa weekend as part of the mastermind or whatever you can think of that really makes your audience feel truly special, especially if they're investing at a very high price point. And even if you can't make it super personalized, you do want to have fairly frequent touches with all of your audience, including those who are just email subscribers. So lover brands, first of all, want to be consistent. All brands do with email marketing. But I would say it's even more important for lovers to be consistent because they want to feel like they trust you, that it's a really beautiful, loving relationship, that they know they can rely on you and they're going to hear from you every week, that your name or their name is in the subject line of their emails. And there just needs to be little representations that you've done your best to personalize even what is essentially mass marketing in a lot of ways. This will help you nurture loyalty and referrals for the long term. So some of the greatest potential strengths of lover brands are loyalty, sensuality. Let's see what else. Spirituality, depending on your industry, it might be easier to bring that out of a lover brand. We have appreciation, vitality, passion. You can get people really excited and riled up about your products or services, which is wonderful for referrals and it's wonderful for getting you on other people's stages, for example. They might recommend you as a speaker to an audience because they absolutely love what you stand for and you make them feel special. So they'll remember you before they remember any other brand. Now, there are potential downfalls to the lover, just like with every archetype. In some ways, I think it's easier to see them in a personal brand than a very large business. But I would say a lot of lover brands, not all of them, we do have those Haagen-Dazs and Godivas out there, but there are a lot of lover brands that are small businesses or even individuals. I find that that is quite common in the world of small business. I will see anyone who is really focusing on luxury or premium experiences often end up being lover brands or having it in their archetype mix. And there are some pitfalls that are more particular to these sizes of businesses because they're so personality and individual driven. So some of these could be obsession, jealousy, fear of not being enough, or being disconnected. So some of those personal fears as the founder, if you resonate with the lover, can kind of come out and start to run the business show sometimes. But it's really important to start with just being aware of them, and just being aware of that potential pitfall in yourself and being able to take action consciously that is more consistent, realizing that it's not personal, which can be very, very hard as a small business owner, especially if you're doing anything creative, which a lot of premium services are. So there's a lot of personal development, I feel, that can go into the lover brand because it tends to be so intimately connected to the founder's personality and the way that they want to construct a business. Because in many ways, it's easier to scale if you're not the lover brand who is obsessed with high touch. So if you are obsessed with high-touch relationships, then you also have the potential pitfalls to look out for. Lovers have some really powerful brand storytelling techniques at their disposal. One is to really lean into the five senses. Describe experiences. So that you could be as straightforward as describing the experience of your product. So maybe it's a food, which means you can bring a lot more into it, like taste and smell and texture, all of that. But even if it's not even a product, maybe it's just a service, how will it feel on the other side of the service? How will it feel in their bodies? How will it feel on that kind of sensorial level? Can you make analogies, which is another storytelling technique? Can you make analogies to food or to the spa or to any sort of sensorial experience when you're talking about the emotional benefits or the monetary benefits that maybe your service actually focuses on in practicality? You also want to speak words of affirmation. So we can kind of think of the love languages. I believe we did this with the caregiver archetype, which you can definitely check out in the linked video on YouTube, but also in the podcast show notes. In the caregiver, I believe we talked about acts of service being the perfect love language for them. And with the lover, not always, I would say that there's a couple that the lover speaks to, but words of affirmation is a really great one. And the reason for that is you can give words of affirmation through email marketing, through blog posts, through conversation. There's so many ways to do that and to transmit it. And it's very literal. Whereas another piece that they would bring in, another love language that a lot of lovers would have would be physical touch. That's not as straightforward in a lot of cases. When we talk about the senses, that's kind of a way of invoking that. But it's a lot more literal when we talk about the love language of words of affirmation. Quality time is another love language that would really suit a lot of lovers. And that's true if you're able to do those kind of high touch, maybe intimate experiences where the small mastermind that you have gets to come in person and spend a whole weekend with you. And, you know, they're not separate from you. You're actually having that experience together with them. So you can bring in some of these other love languages. Of course, it makes a ton of sense. It's the lover, but words of affirmation is very straightforward. You want to personalize outreach as well. Always use their specific first name. Make as many personal invitations to products and services as you possibly can. Send it from your inbox to their inbox whenever possible, rather than using an email marketing platform like MailChimp or ConvertKit, for example. You can show your loyalty to your audience by sharing high quality, this is key, rewards. So you want to make sure if you're going to introduce a rewards program or referral bonus, for example, that it's meaningful. They're not just kind of getting little extras that they may not keep or kind of cheap swag just because you want to give them a little gift. It really matters that it's of quality. It's better not to introduce a program like that, in my opinion, than to introduce a poor quality program like that. You can also literally share stories of love. And sometimes it could be quite directly related to your business. Like if you're a relationship coach, you could share the story of a couple whose love has lasted a lifetime through maybe some serious ups and downs like they are going through. But it can also be used as an analogy, for example, like the love that you have for a child being connected in some way to the love that you have for your business, which is also your baby. That's going to ring true for some people and not for others. You know your audience, so you can tell those love stories as analogies or as literal examples of what's possible for them in ways that truly resonate with them. Now let's talk about the lover's influence on your brand voice. Some of this is through specific words, and some of those words are going to be really obvious to you after what we just talked about, like loyalty, connection, passion, desire, relationship, love. Some of them are very, very obvious. Some of them maybe less so. And you have to think about the words that your audience actually uses in their day-to-day life. Do they describe things like their heart skipped a beat, or is that way too romantic sounding for them? You want to think about that. So that can be things like maybe they love descriptions that are very romantic. So like desire or craving or bliss, but maybe that feels way too kind of out there in the air for them. And what they care about is amazing food. Maybe you could apply craving to food for sure, but maybe they also don't want to feel like it's kind of out of bounds. Maybe they want to feel like they deserve this food and it's going to be the best experience in the world. So you wouldn't use words necessarily like craving, but you could instead use words that really draw on the senses, like bliss. And they don't have any sense of guilt about it. So bliss is a really great example. So really think about those nuances, because there's a gazillion lover words. You have a very rich vocabulary you can choose from as a lover brand. Some key lover phrases to keep in mind. I only have eyes for you. You're special to me. I want to experience bliss. And there's a quote from Sophocles which really expresses how the lover thinks and feels. And that is, one word frees us of all the weight and pain in life. That word is love. Now we're getting into some examples of lover brands. And we've sprinkled them in throughout this episode. We talked about Häagen-Dazs and Godiva as great food examples. We talked about Victoria's Secret. But we also have Chanel, Jaguar, the Phantom of the Opera, the characters Romeo and Juliet, Eros or Cupid, depending on if we're talking Latin or Greek, Hallmark, Hallmark Channel, the Fairmont Hotel. And so what all these have in common is there are elements of the lover within them on a very visible and tangible scale. The way they express those might be quite different. Like the class of the Fairmont Hotel might feel, or the Jaguar brand might feel different than the class of Victoria's Secret, especially as that brand has undergone some serious changes over the last few years in terms of how people perceive them. Partly because in a lot of ways they've lost some loyalty and prestige because they've lost trust. People are kind of seeing behind the scenes of that brand and that it doesn't match what they try and show on the outside. Whereas if you're a small business owner, you have a lot more control over that. And you're probably the lover brand because you as the founder are the lover. So it's a lot easier to be consistent about it. So these are some really inspirational brands or characters that can definitely inspire you. But you can overall decide if you're the lover brand from all these pieces I said, if they ring true. And I'm going to share with you a couple of industries that tend to attract lover people to become lover brands. A lot of them will make sense. So we have food, high-end travel especially, but also just more premium travel. The spa industry, the hotel industry, jewelry, cosmetics, and fashion, especially if we're talking about higher end fashion, definitely not the fast fashion side of things. So remember, if what you do centers around communication, beauty, sensuality, romance, food, relationships, in very literal ways sometimes, you could definitely also be a lover brand. And that's a good example because I'm going to talk about an archetype mix in a second. The Lover is not my dominant brand at Emma Givens Content and Copy, but it's in my mix of three, which means that I do always do my best to show that high touch relationship piece. I want to personalize as many invitations as I possibly can to work with me and make sure that people get gifts once in a while, that they feel special. And because they are, I don't work with a huge number of people at any given time because I really highly value that high touch relationship with the clients that I do have. And I also want to make sure that I have space to value the referrals that they send me because they're always incredibly high quality referrals. And so they're coming from people who I trust, who trust me, who I have a lot of passion for their brands. I often buy things from their brands in the end because I am so excited about it. So this is a really good example of how the Lover shows up in my business, even though it's not front and center. There are some lessons to be learned from every archetype, and you might have a little bit of a mix of a couple archetypes in your personality. I am so grateful for the time you spent with me here. If you are curious about some more archetypes that you might fit into, then definitely check out some of the recommended videos right now, and I will see you over there or in a couple of weeks. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to Emma Givens Content and Copy. Today's episode was written by me, Emma, and produced by Berta Wired. If you had an aha moment or insight from today's episode, make it stick by writing it down in a review. It would actually mean the world to me and my entire team. You can write a review on Apple Podcasts, then screenshot it and tag me on Instagram at Emma Givens Content and Copy. I'd be thrilled to start a conversation with you and reshare your big aha moment with the rest of the audience. Until next time, remember, your voice matters. Let's set it free. Speak to you in 2 weeks on another episode of Emma Givens Content and Copy.